Hello, 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 and welcome to Tech Plus with yourself. Well, I mean, yeah, well,
great start.
Yourself and myself and Kane. I was going to say yours truly. You can hear it's been a
autopilot, long week.
Yeah, listen, I tell you, it is autopilot. Load shedding intensifying. You just saw my diary. It looks like a freaking novel.
Yeah, like a scribble book. You know,
only I will understand what's written in there.
It's encrypted.
By the way, yes. But yeah, how was your week?
It was a good week. I mean, I can actually feel summer's coming back. Some people might disagree because it's cold.
There's something different.
But
it's sunset. Sunset's a bit later.
It is. And it's noticeable because...
It used to be 5:30. Now it's almost 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. You know, by the middle of the day, I would start noticing the sun's heading out.
Oh, really?
You know, you'd start feeling that the sun's intensity is slipping away. Now it feels like it's just stretched about an hour later than usual. Maybe a little bit more.
Wait till Sunday. Sunday's going to be freezing, like 13 degrees. Celsius, yeah.
They just don't let up, eh? They give you a taste of summer, but then they remind you of winter.
Yeah, and then everybody will switch on their heaters on Sunday because it's so cold, and then boom, stage 8 load shedding.
Just wait. Then the heat wave comes.
I'm joking, but I mean, we had quite an alright week with Eskom, but now on Friday afternoon they said, listen, it's actually necessary to go as high as stage 5. And then come down again on Saturday to 4, and then between 2 and 4 on Sunday. So it's a little bit, you know.
Yeah, the relaxed stage 2 that we had for a period is long gone, eh?
I kept saying, and everybody said to me as well, you know, it's suspicious.
Too good to be true.
It's just, it's not, uh-uh. It's suspicious. But anyway, what have you got for us?
Speaking of suspicious... We spoke about the writer strikes, and we'll speak about that a little bit more today. But before we even get to writer strikes, actors have heard, you know, the guys who act in movies, but they're just the extras. You ever seen a movie? I always laugh at myself because I can watch a movie and there's people in the back. Maybe they're shooting inside of like a deli or a cafe or something like that. And there's people in the background. I realized, a friend of mine who does the extra stuff, he says they don't actually speak. They're not actually talking.
I was just about to ask you now, because they say that interferes with the sound of the main boom. Because I always thought, how do they get it so focused that we can only hear the two people here in front of us, and we don't even hear, like, the people in the background?
You just kind of hear, like, a buzz.
Just like a buzz, or maybe, like, cups and whatever, if it's a restaurant or whatever. I was going to ask you now, so they actually mime?
Yes.
Now, can you imagine? They sit there the whole day doing these scenes over and over again. Can you imagine how tired your jaw must be after mouthing words for 12 hours?
Well, as hard as it sounds, I think, you know, they might have said, you know, this is actually a hard job. Now they're going to be upset. Why? Because on Thursday there was a press conference where Hollywood actors confirmed that they were going on strike. Duncan Crabtree, Ireland, SAGF. Tra's chief negotiator revealed a proposal from Hollywood studios that sounds ripped right out of an episode of Black Mirror. Listen to this. In a statement about the strike, the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, AMPTP, said that its proposal included a quote-unquote groundbreaking AI proposal that protects actors' digital likeness for certain movie members. And when you look at it a little bit further, this groundbreaking AI proposal that they gave them essentially allowed the background performers to be scanned once, right? And then used indefinitely forever as a background actor generated by AI. So you come as a background actor, you get scanned once, and now for the rest of time, they can use you as a background character, eating food, picking up sticks, talking to someone in the background, walking down the street. You only came to the studio once. You were only scanned once, and you might not have been employed again to go back and actually be in the movies that you're going to be in. So it's basically AI extras. And
no, but then I want royalties.
Well, they're obviously having a heart attack because it, when it came across, it kind of came across like, you know, this is a groundbreaking technology because studios can just hire extras once and then use them forever. And it seems like they're almost double backing on the whole narrative now. And they're saying, no, this is actually just for actors that work specifically for one movie. And as long as they work for that one movie, that technology can be used to fit them in as extras in different seasons and stuff, as long as they're employed. And if they're not employed, then there will be some sort of special payment or deal that has to be negotiated for them to be scanned once and forever used as an extra. And that, you know, someone said to me the other day, AI is getting out of control.
It is.
But it's not AI that's out of control. We're the ones building it. Like, this was invented by someone.
You want to hear something freaky?
What?
I don't know if you know the singer. He passed away years ago, but he was big in the 60s or whatever. Dean Martin, or was it Frank Sinatra? One of those crooners.
Mm.
He, recently, they took his voice. Obviously, his voice is all over with all the songs he left.
Yes.
They took his voice and they made him sing a Dua Lipa song.
Really?
A Dua Lipa song. I mean, Dua Lipa was... I don't even think Dua Lipa's parents were born when Frank or Dean was alive and singing. So here you've got this guy, the older voice, singing very slow, in a slow style, almost jazzy, singing one of Dua Lipa's biggest hits. I don't know which one it was now.
That's insane.
That's insane. And then the other one was Britney Spears singing Rihanna's song Umbrella. And the funny thing is, it sounds freaking good. It sounds better than Rihanna.
That is insane.
But they say, today Will.i.am released a new song.
Oh, yes.
With Britney Spears.
Okay.
Because they teamed up in the past. But now they say, Britney didn't go in to record any vocals. So what is this telling us?
It was AI.
It was AI. It sounds like Britney. It sounds like Britney. The people say, hey, Britney, do you know you've got a new single out today?
That is...
Oh. You see, it is getting out of hand. It's totally, almost heartbreaking. You're so right. Yeah.
It's almost
like
heartbreaking.
People release stuff and you didn't even know about it, but your voice is on it.
And it's like when it's on the down low, that's when it can feel a bit suspicious, you know? But even more than that, you know, we're talking about writer strikes. Clearly, people are upset about this AI infringing into, you know, their things like that. Some, I mean, by the sounds of it, Britney sounds fine with it. You know, she's like, okay, cool. You know, I get paid. I don't have to do work. No problem. Great. You know, no one's sad about it.
I don't think Britney's very well at the moment.
But I feel like
to say something about
it. Well, I feel like it's a little bit different for her because she doesn't have to go in and she gets paid. Where can we go in and not get paid, but get paid because AI did something that we did? Because when you reverse it and you look at it from the other direction, which is you get scanned once as a movie extra, you never get paid again, and for infinity, you're an extra. But on the other side of it, for the super wealthy and the super rich and the super already achieved, as an artist, you now no longer have to do the work, but you're getting paid as if you've done the work. So it's a complete
flip. Depends how you see it, eh?
It's a complete flip. But you know what? Netflix came out and they said something. So because of the writer strikes, and really people like, we're not going to write for your movie, Netflix figures it will have an extra $1.5 billion in free cash flow this year due to the Hollywood strikes. Netflix says it expects a free cash flow of at least $5 billion in 2023, $1.5 billion more than its original $3.5 billion estimate, citing the ongoing WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes, but noting there could be lumpiness moving into 2024. The strikes have already shut down several Netflix productions, including Stranger Things, Big Mouth, Emily in Paris, and more. And
even Emily in Paris.
And remember what we spoke about last week? We said, like, when the writers don't want to write, and their solution to the AI uprising and the low pay is to say, we will not write, what you do is Netflix suddenly has an additional $1.5 billion in free flowing cash flow, right? That they've almost been allowed to just take out of existing projects. Now they know there's a writer shortage and they're having trouble working with writers, but they've got this $1.5 billion to get some stuff written. And that's the biggest fear, is you don't want to make it okay for them to use that $1.5 billion to still get done what they need to get done.
And this news comes on top of what they announced this week, that Netflix, they won this password war. They won, it's working. Apparently, they've got more new signups than cancellations.
I saw that with the password strike.
Yeah, it worked for them. And now they're cracking down on South Africa.
That's very sad.
It's finally happening.
That's very sad.
It is sad.
Five profiles, but all in one household.
But they won, man. That's why they want you to move your profile now with all your...
But it's, I think it's also, you know, they could be making the numbers up as they go along. Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, Hulu, Showmax,
how will we know?
DSTV, all of these big streaming platforms all don't let viewers and other business and other production houses see how much viewer traffic there is, and it's how they build their negotiations and their deal closing with new show acquisition. So do I really think it's that illogical that they would fake the numbers to sell a narrative that it's okay to not have one account for your whole family? It's okay to actually create multiple accounts for everybody in your family that's all over the place. If they can sell that narrative, all they have to do is falsify subscriber numbers. First of all, we can't see the subscribers' numbers. So, man, what they say, we can't actually take the truth for it, because we can't see before and after. And even then, they understand their system fully. If they wanted to false 300,000 signups, if they wanted to falsely create 300,000 signups, they 100% could have the capacity to do such a thing.
You're right.
And what is the opposing narrative? That their password sharing crackdown was so bad that they now have half the subscribers. That means their predicted cash turnaround for the next financial year is going to be impacted, which means investors are going to be skeptical about holding Netflix shares for the foreseeable year. And the only option they have is to say that the password crackdown is working exactly as planned. Otherwise, they're in massive trouble.
So you're right. How will we know? Because when you read it, you accept it as the truth.
Mm.
A lot of stuff, a lot of people read in the media, even if it's sensationalism, you know, people accept it as the truth.
If you can't actually prove it yourself, just question it. Just like take it with a grain of salt, because you just don't know. You don't know how many subscribers they really have. You don't know. You can't log into a platform and just see it. The only thing you would see is news and financial reports.
Yeah.
I don't know, hey? I don't know. I wouldn't run it past them. I do not see a situation that exists where number manipulation isn't happening. Just put it that way. I feel like there's got to be, because no one in their right mind is just... And I hear a lot of people telling me, like, I cancelled my Netflix. I'm done.
Mm.
Like, I have more people randomly telling me that than I have ever heard before. And somehow their subscriber count's going up. There is, like, nothing to watch on Netflix. There was even just this viral TikTok trend going on where people were basically saying boycott Netflix because they're super inclined to show, like, really bad types of content over other really good informative types of content. So there's so much trouble going on. I just don't see them being like, yo, we're growing in subscribers right now. We're cracking down on passwords. We've got bad sentiment. We got writer strikes, but we're growing.
You're right.
No ways, dude. You're right. That doesn't sound
good
right.
Good point, eh? You must be careful now when you leave the studio. They don't take you out or something, eh? But listen, now I'm going to sound like a detective before we go for some music.
Yes.
Where were you on Wednesday night, Kane, at 10:30 p.m.? Where were you?
Probably back-to-back calls or something on Zoom or something.
Okay, so you obviously weren't on WhatsApp at the time, because if you were, you would notice that all of a sudden nothing's happening. You've got one little gray tick and everything is frozen.
There was another outage.
So what do you do when that happens? I usually switch off my Wi-Fi, switch to another hotspot, or I even try mobile data. If that doesn't work, I will just restart my phone, which I've done all these things, and the other people say they've done the same. It's like you do this whole troubleshooting thing. Why is it not working? Especially if you're in the middle of a conversation,
yes,
like I was, you know, at that moment. Anyway, so... the next thing you do is you go onto Twitter and you see, is WhatsApp down?
Yes.
And immediately, by the second, the updates come in. In Spain, Portugal, you name it. You name the country, it's down. People like, it's down in Spain with the flag.
So it was proper down, and you were definitely affected.
Yeah, it was down everywhere. I thought it was, you know, down in UK. You name it. You name the country, it was down.
I wonder what happened.
So apparently it was a server outage. They've said later on, eventually Meta said it was a server outage, but it must have been massive. It was like 40 to 50 minutes.
No.
So I wonder what happened there.
I don't see it as a server outage, because every region has a server.
Yeah, you know? So they can't all go down at the same time. You're right.
No.
So what?
But then would they really be like, oh, no, we got hacked. Like, it's bad.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Do you think they would really say that?
No,
as well?
Once so again, because they market WhatsApp as this very safe, encrypted platform to chat securely.
I definitely think if someone like WhatsApp probably has a lot of people trying to take them down, maybe they got right, maybe they just generally did have a server issue. It wouldn't be the first time things just randomly turned off out of nowhere because of an update or something like that. But these companies usually have some pretty sophisticated rollback strategies.
Yeah.
So if it's not solved in like 2 to 3 minutes, you know it was unexpected and there's probably a degree of fixing that had to happen. But you mentioned 50 minutes.
Yeah, 40 to 50 minutes.
People were spinning for 40 to 50 minutes.
You can go and see that spike on Down Detector. You'll see this massive spike.
Oh, really? They reported it. Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, to us here in South Africa around that time, it doesn't sound like a massive thing. I'm sure most people were sleeping at the time. Mm. What about people in other time zones who really had to send a message during that time? It could have saved a life, you know? Could have been somebody. What about somebody in an emergency and all of a sudden, you know?
I hope you try to make a normal phone call at least. Or
yeah,
send
oh my gosh, of course. But listen, the millennials don't know about normal phone calls, okay?
Mobile internet or nothing.
Yeah, it's WhatsApp or whatever or nothing.
It's either a phone with WhatsApp or an MP3 player with no outside communication method.
This is Tech Plus. We are back just after this.
Mind your business, bitch. Where she at? 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 There she go, there she go, there she go, there she go, there she go. What she do, what she do, what she do, what she do, what she do.
Too much watching, watching, watching me, watching, watching you.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your business. Mind your business, bitch. Mind your business, bitch. Mind your business, bitch. Mind your business, bitch.
Too much looky, looky, get up off me. Too much watchy, wah. Hands up in the cookie jar, they watching me, they watching ya. They got eyes up in the sky, so pose for that camera. They follow me, follow me, follow me, follow, follow me.
Uptown, downtown, everywhere, turn around. Hollywood, London, snap, snap is the sound. Paparazzi shot me, I am the economy.
Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow, follow me.
Where she at, where she at, where she at, where she at, where she at? There she go, there she go, there she go, there she go, there she go. What she do, what she do, what she do, what she do, what she do.
Too much watching, watching, watching me, watching, watching you.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your business. Mind your business, bitch.
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 Too much looky looky, I'm so sick of all these looky loos. Everybody looking at me like I was the breaking news. Police got a sting, watching every step I take, every move I make, every breath I take.
If they don't get up out my face, I'll send the dogs out. 5 seconds and then the dogs come out. You know what happens when the dogs come out. None of your business. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be.
Mind your business.
Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be, mind your be, mind your be, mind your be. Mind your be.
Mind your business.
Bitch.
Welcome back to Tech Plus. If you just joined us, it's Ian and Kane with you, talking about this week's biggest tech stories. Kane, what is next on the list?
To talk about what we're talking about next, we both have to look at some pretty advanced technology and also look at some pretty old technology. And it's funny because we spoke about it last week. Oppenheimer, which is coming out in cinemas in IMAX and super high quality production. And there's also another, like, saying, because Oppenheimer and Barbie are probably apparently coming out at the same time.
Jesus, Barbie is everywhere now.
So there's like a show called like Oppen Barber or like something like that, where they're saying like Oppenheimer and Barbie are like two shows you have to watch on the same day. Yeah. Apparently it's like the opening to blockbusters of the 2021 year.
Barbie.
And I don't know, it's going to be really good. Look, Dwayne The Rock Johnson apparently in there. And
in Barbie.
I think they've I'm telling you, it's not your traditional Barbie show. I think it's going to be like a proper modernized version. It's going to be a Barbie movie that guys head to the cinemas to watch.
What?
I know
the soundtrack is good. I heard a few songs that were pre-released from the soundtrack's pretty good.
I have
but,
a feeling.
But, you know, that song by Aqua that was so popular in the late 90s when I was growing up, I'm a Barbie Girl.
Yes.
Like, they've got a new version of it now, and the group Aqua, who originally, you know,
really they made it,
yeah, back they're again. Involved you
what?
Know they're still alive.
yeah. It's a good thing to ask.
They're still alive and they're not old, you know, they're just like probably in their 40s or 50s now, but they're still alive.
Wow.
And they're involved in it now, and I'm sure that, you know, when they released that song back in the 90s, I'm sure they never imagined that in 2023, it would blow up again and there would be another opportunity for them to earn a massive amount of money.
So, Oppenheimer was filmed on some serious cameras. Like, you know, it's just a new movie. It's going to have the best of the best recording quality stuff. The best equipment, best mics, best cameras, best lighting, best staff, best producers, best directors, best sound guys, everything.
Okay.
Okay. And it's funny because all of that quality and that high resolution of video and everything gets packaged into literally a IMAX film, which is just a roll of film.
A heavy thing,
300 kgs of film, of spool, 11 miles of film. They film this thing with the best equipment in the world, and they print it onto 11 miles of film and roll it up, and it comes to 300 and odd kgs, which has to be shipped to every single theater and cinema in the world. This 300 kg 11 mile long roll of film, and then it gets played off of, it gets put into the movie house where that film must now go through a projector.
That's it.
So they need a device that can hold all this film and make sure that it runs, I think it's at 6 feet per second.
Whoa.
This film needs to go past the projector at 6 feet per second.
It's amazing how this, I mean, that's just a picture. Is the sound also included in it?
I don't know about
the sound.
Does
that play separately?
I think that plays separate. And
what if it's out of sync?
That's another thing as well. But that film, that 11 mile long 300 kgs of film moving at 6 feet per second, is all controlled by a Palm M130. It's a device released in 2002.
Whoa,
with 260 inch displays, and it's powered by a Motorola 35 megahertz VZ processor. We are talking some old tech.
But I'm all for old school, Kane. But why are they doing this?
I think look, at the end of the day, it's still going to be incredible quality. It's going to come out at that cinema with the best sound you ever heard and the best picture at the best quality, and it's going to be incredible. But the irony that it's so intensely recorded and then just played through absolute old
quality,
tech. It's like watching a new movie in the most HD ever, but on an old TV. You know, the ones that are like big at the back.
Those tubes.
And but it's just crazy.
Why? Is it, you know, songs and artists release stuff on vinyl nowadays as well, you know? Well, it's just nice.
Here's a question I always used to ask myself that I think leans into why such an ordeal has to be happening just to get a movie to a cinema. Is because I always wonder, I'm like, how does it take 3 to 5 months for a movie to come out after it's hit the cinema? Because not from a legal perspective, but on an illegal perspective. Like, why aren't there copies of these films rolling around? Are you telling me that every single person that owns a cinema or a movie house or a Blockbuster or a New Metro or Sturkinikor, every single person who owns one of these and manages the films doesn't just copy it onto a flash drive and get it out into the online across the entire earth? There is not one person that can pull it off. And then you realize it's not actually digital.
Yeah. Do you think that's the reason?
There's no, it's not digital.
Because you see somebody carrying this 300-kilogram roll and you'll know what he's trying to do.
Well, first he has to get it out and then he has
How
to
How would you
up,
convert it? Yeah.
He has to put it on a device that can change film into digital with the sound as well. Remember, the sound's probably separate and it has to be synced.
But what if it's not synced and you hear the explosion first and then you see it?
Something like that happened to me, I think, at the NASA cinema. We had a NASA cinema there. Something happened and the sound desynced, or the sound continued but the video stopped, or something like that.
You have to push play at the same time.
But truly incredible that the extent Hollywood must go through to keep that stuff offline and really be exclusive, to only be able to watch it at a cinema. They actually have to go back in time to old tech and use the oldest of tech to even show the highest of quality, but the old tech protects that content from getting out before it's allowed out.
But couldn't they just go all out old tech and just use old cameras as well? Why did they use the best cameras if we can't appreciate the quality?
Well, would you really want it? You could watch that's the thing. What you're seeing at the cinema is the quality. They've just made such high quality. If you went back to 2002 and showed the people in 2002 our role, our 11-mile long Oppenheimer film and the speakers we used to play that audio, and they would just be like, it's alien technology.
So it's still really good.
It is really good.
So there won't be any loss in quality.
No.
I thought the film would reduce the quality.
Because they're giving you this 21st century next level of quality that can only be experienced in a, you know, in the right place with the right equipment, at the right speakers and everything. And they're giving it to you in something that is like 2002 old technology, still film roll. Like when you took a photo and you had to take your film to the photo place so they could develop it into pictures.
And you took the best pictures that holiday and then you get there a week later and none of them came out. Remember? Or you would get those ghost pictures where your photos just mixed and you would see everything like overlaying.
Unreal, hey? Unreal.
And then you had to pay for it. For these mixes of photos. You're like, so this was the perfect photo. The perfect photo, and it didn't even come out.
Oh, it's like overexposed. Or
there's a finger in the way or whatever.
A nice toy that I've been playing around with is one of those Polaroid cameras where you take a photo and it prints it right there.
At least you can see it immediately.
That's very cool. There's something special, really, truly. There's something special about taking 10 photos and having 10 physical photos at the end of your
photo shoot. And the size of the photos as well. It's so cute.
Put in a wallet and you get the wide angle ones. It's very cool.
That's very nice.
Speaking of things that are new and exciting, we saw last week, or just the week before, Threads came out, which is...
Yeah.
Meta's competitor to Twitter, as an answer to Twitter being in kind of shambles and all over the place, even though they have some of the highest viewers usage at the moment. You know, the narrative is Twitter's kind of in shambles, and Threads steps in as a copycat to kind of just clean up and provide users with what they actually want. That's the narrative that's being sold. Well, in that short period of time that it came out, it racked users up like crazy, you know, like absolutely. We were talking about 5 million, 10 million users, 100 million posts, all in the first 12 hours or so. It was incredible.
But now it's died down.
Well, then we went to the week after that and we were like, it's a bit quiet, don't you think? And now we're a week after that and apparently Threads usage continues to fall. The WSJ, or Wall Street Journal, says that daily active users declined 70% to 13 million from its peak, and average time users spent in apps decreased to 4 minutes from 19 minutes. So not only do they have a far less volume, but they also have far less duration. And Twitter's daily active users are unchanged at about 200 million and spend an average of 30 minutes a day on Musk's not really free speech hobby.
And Elon's laughing because he knew it was going to work. Let's be honest, people were just curious. That's why those numbers spiked, if those numbers are accurate.
Well, people are curious, but you can't, like, as we said as well, you can't just keep bringing out the same social platforms. Like, no one has the time.
And now you're on there, what now?
Now
you know what it looks like. Now what now?
Now you could post the same thing that you're going to post on Twitter
exactly,
to there. To
exactly.
Less people.
Another freaking box to tick.
No. Wasn't the greatest, but it does. It does show you. It gives you a little hint at something, which I think is misunderstood, which is that the amount of time and effort required to build good technology is this vast 10-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. If Meta could put this thing out in 2 months with arguably probably a 50-person strong team, of which probably 5 guys work the hardest compared to everyone else, and the rest of them were doing lackey stuff. Anything is possible. You can build a 200 million user app tomorrow. Don't think about it. Don't get discerned about it. Head out, build it, do what you can, because you have no idea how much coverage you can make. And the idea that these technologies that already exist are far more complicated than we believe is not the case. So really, the world is your oyster. Go out and build tech and have fun doing it, and build that app for your business you always wanted to build. You know, build that competitor app that you always thought was a good idea. It's now. Tech is going to get easier and easier to build in the future, and eventually you'll just ask an AI to do it. So nurture those ideas and keep them coming.
Good advice there,
keep that energy going. And in Twitter news, Twitter just doesn't like being itself. Twitter will now let verified organizations import all of their jobs to Twitter by connecting what they call a supported ATX or XML file, which basically just means you can post available jobs at your company directly to Twitter. It's kind of sounding a bit like LinkedIn. And that's another feature that Twitter's now added, which is actually pretty cool. I wouldn't mind like browsing potential jobs in my area through Twitter. I have no problem with that. I could do it on LinkedIn. I can do it on Twitter. If it's built for it and it works really well and gets me a job and I'm not employed, or gets me more money and I'm getting ripped off, great. You know, fantastic. But that's Elon for you. He's like, this was Twitter. We're going to make it a job place where you can get a job. We're going to make it a payment platform where you can pay people. We're going to make it a subscription model where you can be verified and have a... So it's quite cool, actually.
Not even the sky's the limit with Elon.
No. No. And on that note, is it a music break?
Yes, Kane. And then we're back with more Tech Plus.
Okay. 24/7
on my mind at night, all the time. You ain't even by my side. Yeah. 24/7 fascinated, you got me infatuated. Feel the power in your eyes. Must be voodoo you're doing, it's pulling me back. Does it sip of your potion and my body reacts? Feel the chemicals moving, it's a matter of fact. Every time that you touch me, my body reacts. My body reacts.
Welcome back to Tech Plus. We are now in the final stretch. If you just joined us, welcome to the show. We are talking about this week's biggest tech stories, and Kane's got your next story. Kane, what you got?
So this is where it starts getting a bit wild. A lot of the bigger companies around this time of the year usually start announcing like tech that they're building or new products that they have releasing, because that will sometimes come out in either December or the following middle of the year or the following end of the next year. This is usually a time where we start hearing about technologies that are being built, and there is no shortage of them. Samsung is apparently working on what they're calling a Galaxy Ring. That's according to a new report from the ELK. Seems like Samsung is considering its own take on the Aura Ring, and this is supposedly going to be an accessory for extended reality, essentially like devices that you wear on your fingers that measure your heart your heart rate and acts as sensory interfaces between you and in a VR game, and all the things you could potentially have from having something as smart as a phone with sensors connected directly to something as simple as a finger or all fingers, or gloves that are also rings that have sensory heat and things like that for in games. And just in essence, what that means is we're moving on from smart watches. Like, that was the first thing to become smart on human accessories, right? Now we're moving on to smart rings. And I'm pretty sure it will extend into other things, maybe smart earrings, you know, that have little cameras on them. Who knows how far it could go. But seeing Samsung move into, you know, smart apparel like rings is showing you that there's going to be some sort of technology that can give you maybe biometrics from a ring. Maybe it can tell you if you're diabetic from a ring. Maybe it can tell you about vitamin and mineral deficiencies from a ring. I mean, the world is really, you know, the oyster. And seeing that kind of technology comes out gives us hints that this is probably something that's going to be happening. And in other news that's less kind of, you know, sportswear meets smart tech, Pokemon Sleep is now available in the US on Android and iOS. You can now play Pokemon Go while you sleep.
No, man.
Yeah.
Stop joking. It's not a real app.
No, it's a real app. It exists. I suggest.
How do you play it in your sleep?
It monitors your sleep, and then you get rewards based on how well you sleep in your game.
Well, in that case, I won't win.
You're going to have to change your sleeping pattern.
Yeah.
You're going to see, like, esports, people sleeping competitions, where they're going to rock up and just nap out. You know, that's the whole comp is just to sleep.
If I can get rewards for sleeping, I would definitely do it.
Yeah, well, bro, I've heard some crazy stuff. Apparently, there's even people on TikTok that are doing, like, live streams, and they'll actually live stream while they sleep.
Yeah, I've seen it, but it's fake, man. Well, I don't think
some
really
earning reports were given for it. Whether it's fake
real, they're making money.
$15,000 a night.
But remember, I told you I watched it once.
Yeah.
It was just after I was introduced to TikTok. I was like, what the heck am I watching?
Just some
woman sleeping, and then as soon as somebody gives her a gift, then this thing in a room lights up or makes a noise or whatever.
It's like
tries to wake her
your
up.
Gifts and messages are connected to appliances around.
How
and music
is that possible?
And the bed shakes and
how
it's
can,
real.
How can a gift be connected to something in her room?
You just have a piece of technology that says when this type of gift comes onto this live stream, this piece of technology goes from a 0 to a 1 and it activates.
Really?
Not that hard. Yeah, very easy to do.
But not via your phone. No,
you could take a day
laptop
and set it all up. You could probably even use something like an Alexa to make some of it happen. You're going to have to do some custom coding. There's probably plenty of software.
That's brilliant because somebody, as soon as you give her a certain gift, then something lights up. But I mean, obviously, she wants you to give her the most expensive gift for her to wake up.
Yeah.
Just for you. But nobody's doing that. They just do stuff to tease her.
Well, obviously, if you're making $15,000 a night from people sending you gifts because they're trying to get your attention, because you might, like, that person might genuinely just be sleeping through the night. Like, genuinely just, like, absolutely, like, I'm going to sleep now, I wake up in the morning, I go to work. And
would
she
you
wakes
sleep?
Up with $15,000.
Would you sleep?
Huh?
Would you sleep?
For $15,000.
But won't you be like, cameras watching me, you know, what if I do something silly during the night?
I don't know. I would probably have a problem with it. And then after 10 days, I'd have $150,000 and like a lot less problems with it. So I don't know.
So, yeah, okay. It's worth it. Jeez, to get paid to sleep.
Unbelievable. That's a high income job.
That's unreal.
That is absolutely unreal. Now, the next thing is also, you know, it's not stopping there just with Samsung coming out with some new smart tech. Apple apparently also has a GPT-like device, an AI chatbot, but has no idea what to do with it yet. So Apple has now also made a ChatGPT. So is Bing with Bard. And we've also... Google has Bard. Bing has Bing AI. And now Apple has Apple GPT. And it's also an AI language
serious?
Model. So they've come out to that. They don't know how they're going to use it yet, but I'm sure they're going to figure something out for
it. I heard
it.
About some other bots as well. This one's called Opus Pro. Have you heard of Opus Pro?
There's so many. I haven't heard of that one. No.
It turns one long video into 10 short ones, fully edited also.
That's very cool. That's very useful. I actually did something like that for a client way, way long ago.
And that have you heard of ClipDrop.co?
Uh-uh.
One AI tool that covers all design tasks and more. It's also Orimon.ai. Have you heard of Orimon?
There are so many AI tools. You could probably mention 50% of them and I wouldn't have heard of them.
Really?
There are so many.
I thought there was just this handful here.
No,
are
those are just the popular... Like, people build apps that use these things underlyingly.
Orimon.ai is a chatbot that can replace a whole sales team. Whoa.
It's insane.
Uh-oh.
It's insane. And with that in mind, you know, with ChatGPT coming out with new stuff, with Samsung coming out with even AI stuff, with Bing doing it, with Google doing it, with all these different places doing it, Apple's even doing it, Meta, Google, and OpenAI have made promises to the White House that they'll continue to develop AI, but they will try and be responsible about it as possible. I wonder if that's coming from the same people that decided, let's pitch an AI model that takes a person who's normally an extra in a movie and just completely gets rid of him ever being employed as an extra again. I wonder if those were the same people talking about developing responsibly, because that was human made. That was an idea that was built out and come to market. That's not AI getting stronger. That's humans hurting themselves. That doesn't make sense. You know? So I hope, you know, I hope that's kind of full circle back to the people doing that kind of stuff, because that's not making a good name for anyone. And Whole Foods stores, 500 plus, all 500 plus Whole Foods stores, which is an international, like Woolworths of the world, have now set up to open soon with a palm scan payment solution. So 500 stores, probably across the USA, will be able to accept payment with the payment of a palm. So you will have a tap card related chip in your palm that's surgically inserted there, and when you tap things, you can actually pay with your palm.
And meanwhile, in South Africa, I can't even get a store to accept my SnapScan.
Yeah. People will be walking around handshaking people taking money.
People are freaking paying with their palms overseas, and you can't accept my SnapScan. I'm serious. It happened last week. I forgot my card at home, and I was like, oh, but it's fine. I've got SnapScan. Sorry, we cannot. We cannot. Don't have it.
Now, Tesla also coming out with some AI-related stuff. They've started production of what they call a Dojo supercomputer, which will train driverless cars. So that's another piece of technology coming out. It's really absurd. I mean, Samsung coming out with the wearable ring that's smart. Tesla coming out with a Dojo supercomputer that trains cars to drive. Okay, you've got Apple that has an AI language model, probably as powerful as ChatGPT, and they've got no idea what to do with it. And then you have Meta, Google, and OpenAI promising to not develop AI irresponsibly, while we've got irresponsible AI development. And this is all in the course of a couple of days. So that's why I say, you know, shortage of tech updates this part of the month.
I'm a bit behind because I'm still doing Hey Google.
Hey Google.
And she's sassy, that woman, eh? You just made a mistake. It's not raining. Oh, sorry. Now that you mentioned it. Yes. She's so sassy. It's crazy.
That is crazy. And on that note, final takeaway is for anyone in South Africa who doesn't like spending a lot of money buying games because they're very expensive. Any gamer will know that games are not cheap, and that's why we have things like Xbox Game Pass, which is one payment per month. You get access to a whole bunch of games. Epic Games is taking about a 75% off sale on selected titles as part of its summer sale over the next few days. So if you're a gamer, I mean, 75% off, these games are like that's 1,000 rand sometimes. That's 750 rand off. I'll take it. You know, that's basically like buy one, get three free.
Yeah.
And NSA exchange rate don't convert too well. You know, Americans and Europeans, they buy games and it's like peanuts, you know.
Yeah.
Here in South Africa, we're like, okay, I can take half my salary and I can get the first half of this game, and then next month I'll buy the other half. So get the discount while you can. And that's it for today.
That's it for this week on Tech Plus. Kane, thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend, or you know what's left of it. And thanks as always. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Same place. And to all of our listeners, thank you for listening in. See you next
Absolutely.
Week.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Cheers.
Let's just run away. All that talk is killing me. One last shot, hold on to me. Oh, there's something I gotta say to you. There's somewhere we gotta go. Been out of sinking in the sand. Chasing what we can. Baby, it's not enough. Oh, it's like we're stuck in the mezzanine. With 20 floors left to go. Oh, yeah. Been out of drowning in the rain. Trying to switch the lane. You already know, yeah.
to